Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in league, Albert Kelly sidelined with a grade 3 pain in his arse after stepping on the wrong toes.
Confused virgins everywhere furious at Peter Valenti's as he vows to eliminate all wrestling.
After losing the worst game of rugby league in history, the Tigers officially take over the Washington Generals as the shittest team in all of sports.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 5 of the 2022 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 452 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Fellas.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Yep, that's how we're going to start this off. Happy birthday, Stepdad. It's not often that we're actually recording an episode or, you know, that falls on the exact birthday, but it's happened.
There we go. Thank you, boys. Had a wondrous grown-up birthday of going to work.
Yeah. Did you have a special dinner or anything before you came on?
No. Stepdad Junior's with his mother this week, so yep. We'll wait until he's back and do all the frivolities and that sort of stuff then.
Oh, okay. So you're not getting a special grown ups dinner at a place where kids would not normally be welcome.
We will do that on the weekend. But no, the big family celebrations we'll do later on, but. No, Mrs. Stepdad will take me out for dinner on the weekend.
Very good. Very
good. Proceed to pretend like she's not disappointed.
Just for one day. Yeah. So, this week... in regards to the news sort of things, there's a couple of things I want to discuss. We do still have that specter of opinion style shit hanging over us, but the opinion style stuff has brought together, like, I don't know if you want to call it a conspiracy theory or a rumor, but it seems like it's gaining a little bit of steam with the potential outcome of the much maligned Luke Brooks potentially in a player swap with Kyle Flanagan between the Dogs and the Tigers. But the conspiracy part is it's part of a master plan that then results in the sacking of Madge and the installation of Flano Sr. as West Tigers coach. And I just... Do I believe it? Not particularly. I just wanted to hear Glenn talk about it.
Why?
Say it happened. Put yourself in the shoes of a little West Tigers fan that could, is gradually starting to couldn't. Perhaps he's finding it's not as easy to could as it used to be able to. Maybe he needs to get some little orange and black pills. So
the little West Tiger that stopped. look, I actually said a couple of weeks ago, something needs to change. I don't necessarily agree that it's the coach again. We've been down that road several times, and we still seem to have this habit of developing a playing group that wants to have a mind of its own but hasn't earned the right to have a mind of its own and want to control things. They haven't earned that right. The irony is a playing group like the Melbourne Storm has or the Roosters should have that kind of pull within their organisation. The irony is they would never dare to do that playing for Robbo or Bellamy or, you know, any Bennett coach team or whatever.
Yeah.
So whether that's a culture thing, and if it is, it's transcended through multiple CEOs, multiple coaches, generational changes of playing group. Like, I don't know. There's not one common denominator other than the logo on the jersey, which is probably the scariest thing, that dictates why the club is wired that way. You can, you know, the current incarnation of Pasco and, you know, and Madge and that situation is one thing, but we've been through Grant Mayer, we've been through Mick Potter, Jason Taylor, we've had Benji, we've had Robbie.
Grant was a good operator too.
Yeah.
He seemed to polarise people, but I was a fan. I met him several times. I had, you know, caught up different members' functions and stuff like that when they come up to Brisbane and stuff. And I never had an issue with him. And he's gone on to quite successful roles.
What is he doing now, anyway?
I think he was I don't know if it's the A-League itself or maybe the Adelaide club. He was like CEO or something.
That's a fucking stretch for success. Not only is he in soccer, he's in the Adelaide part of soccer.
It's as far as Australian sport goes, it's still a high ranking position. I mean, would you rather do that or fucking be the CEO of the Tigers?
Is it though?
Would you rather be the CEO of the Adelaide soccer team or the West fucking Tigers?
True. I'd rather not be the CEO of the Tigers, but if the only position under yours is the CEO of the West Tigers, that doesn't make you a highly ranked position.
I see where you're coming from, but
I think, yep. Do you know what the West Tigers have never done?
Set themselves on fire.
Oh, metaphorically. They've never sat down and owned who they are. They've never sat down. And
it's not a hard thing to do, really, that whole...
After decades in the corporate world, it is so easy to see a culture of sugarcoating and pretense versus a culture of realism and determination. And they are drastically different to work in. They're drastically different to achieve results within. You know?
Wholeheartedly agree. Worked in both.
The West Tigers have this thing where at the start of every season, they are... Such and such has been training the house down. This is our year. The boys have never been sharper. We're ready for this. You know, for us, if it's not finals this year, it's a failure. Look, that's fine, but at no stage has there ever been any accountability and ownership to turn around and say exactly what you've said, Glenn. We are in a position where we need to change everything about our club, our culture, how we operate, you know, from the ground up. We're in a bad position with our salary cap. We're in a bad position with our talent pool. These guys out here, they try their guts out every week. But there is a talent deficit.
They're in a better position with their salary cap than they have been for at least 5 years.
Luke Brooks is getting paid $1.1 million next year.
What did any of you guys get to the bottom of that shit? Like, remember how
It's official. There's on one hand is that story, and the other hand is that like a fuck you Bulldogs? Like, here, quick, sign this $1.3 million contract, and then play a swap for fucking Flano.
Yeah.
Good luck, Bulldogs.
Just quick one is Brooks on the last year of the contract he signed pre Big Three breakup? Or has there been another contract since
then? No, he's extended since then.
Oh, has he? Okay. Yeah. Fuck, that's on the club then. Absolutely. Because if he got them for this long a deal, like a 5 year or something.
He's extended since then.
Okay, fuck that. But do you remember it was the last year that Madge was at Souths and they were terrible. They were fucking terrible. And they sent out a letter to their fans that said, we're sorry. We're in a poor position with our salary cap. We've back-ended a bunch of deals. We really don't have much to any room to move here. We are now going to enter a rebuilding phase. And it is going to take us, you know, a number of years to become competitive again. And their fans fucking rallied around them. You know? Yep, go for it. Rebuild, who gives a shit, we'll still be at every game. the West Tigers have never taken that ownership. And I think that's what's led them to become a meme club. It's that complete lack of self-awareness that they put out there.
There was a mailbag or a member said a comment about Pasco and his general, how he carries himself, and how he carries himself around someone like Harry Triguboff. And
as we saw on the show last year,
absolutely,
like when he went there with the show bag of goodies, and you see he was clearly like, I don't know, like the office suckhole.
Yeah. So you that know, guy, for want of a better right, term. And to Jay's point about the corporate world or business, which we do have a tendency to correlate back, but in an organisation where you were, you know, even in senior management or one of the key cogs of a corporate machine, but you are led by someone that carries themselves like that and is generally, like, you could feel the energy or the bad energy from Triguboff towards him through the TV show. Like,
it wasn't even bad energy. It was like, I don't know if it was disdain or
content,
apathy.
Yeah.
Or
I think it was just like old, ultra successful businessman. You know, doesn't suffer fools, and he's confronted with someone who he has to deal with in a business capacity, but who he utterly doesn't respect and will only deal with on a level as long as he has to, and not
as a formality.
Yeah.
But that's the guy that is leading the club as far as an organisational sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in that club looked to that guy and he elicits a sense of respect and, you know, and they see how he operates within those circles and his peers and the guys that he is accountable to.
Yeah.
And that's the regard that they hold him in. Anyone that looks to that guy for any sort of leadership can see that, and that consciously or otherwise, it leads to the people that he's supposed to be leading then thinking that guy's a fucking dick as well.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Most of the successful, and, you know, during the course of a career, I've been in all parts of the organization where times were rosy and times were not so rosy. Some of the best leaders I had were the ones who, when things were fucked, stood up and went, yep, you know what? Things are fucked. But what are we going to do about it?
Mm.
You know? And it's time for all the old cliches. You know, control what you can control, back to basics. You know, there's a million of them from every facet of life. But you contrast that with the ones who in the same situation are like, oh, what an opportunity this is. And, you know, like we really feel as if there's so much positivity here and just good things are ahead for us. We just know it.
Mm.
And maybe different people respond differently, you know, to
but if Pasco carried himself in such a way that he didn't suffer fools, was hard-nosed, made the tough decisions and stood by him, and I don't know exactly what the right word is, but he just doesn't have that, he doesn't give off that vibe. He lacks
authenticity.
Mm.
As in, everything he says, you know, you can see that he thinks he's the fucking cleverest person in any interaction, and that there's some little fucking Machiavellian scheme he's got going on, you know, where he's the only one that knows what's going on and can see a couple of steps ahead. And this, where everyone around him
is
like,
complete contrast to the reality, though.
Yeah, that's it.
And I feel that trickles down through the club, all the way to the playing group. It's my two cents.
Yeah.
I wonder if that particular scenario trickles down to the playing group, or if the playing group kind of are like us, or, you know, they watch the show or they see him day to day, and if he is the same exact person as he was portrayed on television, they just think
this
like Glennie with Dragons fans, like, oh, yeah, this cunt. Look, and they tolerate him as well. And they're, you know, because at the end of the day, they're also this whatever he's actually like, he's still head office guy, and they've got the, you know, they're professional football players as part of the football department, and they probably don't have to
interact with him. I think he forces them to interact. Sorry to cut you off, but I think he puts himself in a position where he wants to be the guy that's fucking in front of the cameras. Like, how many clubs do you actually know who the fuck the CEO is? There's plenty that you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
true. Why do most people know who Justin Pascoe is? Outside of the TV show, which is fairly unique.
TV show and misconduct that resulted in a suspension.
Exactly.
But again...
And thirdly, winning the trade, or losing the trade with Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it.
That's it. Essentially, that's all they're trying to do here. They're trying to redesign fucking Cleary's 2.0. They tried it to get fucking Kevvy Walters down here by hiring his son. Now they're doing the same thing with fucking Flojoo, trying to get a father son combo.
Yeah, and other than the son factor, how is Flanagan that much different to Maguire? Premiership winning, hard nosed coach. No nonsense approach. It's not that big a difference in their two resumes outside of Maguire doesn't have a son that can play Harper to some degree.
Yeah.
Does he have a son? Because I think the question is, does he have a son who's better at football than Luke Brooks? That's a very different
doesn't
question.
Doesn't have to be a son.
Look, I mean, we've got
a pioneer of rugby league.
We've gone on a long tangent about the West Tigers club and everything that's wrong. You know the latest addition of what's wrong with the West Tigers, but you end up with Flano. You like the first scenario, Glenn. You end up with Flano Jr. over Brooksy. How do you feel?
I think the most important thing is that Brooksy's no longer there, and I think it's probably and I would not be surprised. I don't know about the Bulldogs because you still got then and you've. You've convinced me of Trentius, or his lack thereof of coaching ability. But I would not be surprised to see Luke Brooks go to another club with a fresh start and a clean slate and kill it. He's weighed down every single week by the fact that he's fairly or otherwise, some weeks more than others, and has been for several seasons, the scapegoat for the club being in a position where they're not competitive. And because he, and I know that's inherent with being the halfback at the club and high profile, big money, you know, all the rest of it. You know, he was severely hyped up earlier in his career. And I think he cops it. Some of it's unfair. Some of it's warranted. A lot of it's unfair. I think he would benefit from a clean slate as much as the Tigers, if not more. I don't know how Flanagan Junior or Senior fits the Tigers. I don't have an answer. I don't even have an opinion on it because I don't really know enough about Junior's game. And there's also a stink on Flanagan Senior's coaching as far as the Sharks debacle. So... I don't know. It's another semi-high profile, you know, someone that's trying to get their way back into the NRL via the Tigers. And
at what point do they become such a poison chalice? Is Madge the final straw where you just can't look at actual top-tier coaches anymore?
At the end of the day, there are people who want to be top-tier coaches and top-tier coaches who want to get back in the game who will go into an opening that exists no matter... Well, you know, look, it's like 3 a.m. At the... You know, there are openings that people will take if they're on offer.
Yeah, no, I know that.
After all of the good options at the dance have gone home.
Now, here's the thing, right? To take the Bulldogs job, you've got... an open checkbook, you've got Gus, you've got all of these little things that could be sold to someone as advantages. What do you sell to somebody coming to the West Tigers?
Sheens.
And how do you
and
do
what's
that?
The selling point? Yeah, what's the selling point?
Well, his reputation, his standing in rugby league, he is highly regarded, all jokes aside.
Is he though?
Oh, I believe so. And have heard plenty of people, when he came back to the Tigers, I heard plenty of people, you know, comment about the standing and the regard in which he's held in the rugby league world. Whether that translates to any successes, time will have to tell. It's not been a great start. I don't think we get the... I think he was behind the Papali'i signing. I think he was a big part of that.
Yep.
Was
he not also behind the club's descent into its current situation?
But then, you know, the argument could be made that he was also at the helm during the, you know, the only time where the club tasted success.
Yep.
When did he... Remind me when he left again the first time?
11? 12? No. When was 11,
12,
I,
yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
I guess while we're talking Tigers hypotheticals, I mean, if he's still around, you know, in the middle of the decade, does his... I don't know, the esteem in which he's held, allegedly, you know, like I'm taking your word for it, assume he's held in great esteem by the playing group and things like that. Does he keep, like, Tedesco and co there?
I believe so.
Do they stay?
I believe so. But,
So from a strictly playing perspective, you would, like, my opinion would be you'd prefer Luke Brooks, but I feel like he's...
But do you not have the same question with Flanagan?
No, but some... Yeah, well, this is the thing. The thing with me is that the way I see this potential trade, if it was to happen, is that Luke Brooks would go... Like, Trent can't coach, obviously, but Luke Brooks goes there, and I think one of the biggest problems with Luke Brooks at this point is I think he just needs to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, he just needs it. It doesn't matter who's at the top. I just think he needs to get away from the club and go somewhere else to ply his trade, and just... I think he just needs to overcome, like, the burnout of just, like, a, you know, I think a change would be great for him, and I think he'd play well, because I don't think he's a terrible player, but I think he's a terrible player at the West Tigers, and I don't think they have a way to get him out of it.
Yeah,
I don't think Flanagan's particularly incredible as a player. He may just be bait to get, you know, Shane over to coach the side or whatever, but
do you, as I started to say, do you not have the same problem with him when if Dewey comes back and he's fit, and Hastings comes back and he's fit and not suspended? In anyone's measure, that's your 6 and 7.
Which means you will start doing in the centres to keep Brooks.
100%. You're 100% correct.
Hastings looks pretty chonky. I think you could probably stick him, like, you know, as like a 14, or even throw him like as a lock or something like that. If you don't
know, they don't need a 14.
I'm pretty sure
they've got Tyrone Peachey.
Thank you for ending the conversation, Jay. Let's change subjects.
How much does that motherfucker stay on the field, right? Right. So that's a big no from you, Glennie, and fuck my life. Okay. Now, I guess we should talk about this incident that's happened with the Broncos. Bit of video coming out through the week. And it was the David and Goliath battle between Payne Haas and the diminutive Albert Kelly. And I don't know who was taking the video, but it was a bit of a scuffle. I believe, I didn't see this, but from what people have been saying, is it because Albert Kelly, like, stepped on his, you know, potentially scuffed his shoes? Obviously, well, ultra pissed, because, like, I couldn't hardly understand a word that Albert Kelly said in that exchange. I mean, that was maximum slurrage.
Yeah, right.
But the Broncos, am I right in saying the Broncos have stood him down for 2 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
What do you make of that?
That seems excessive to me.
in light of, I'll give you one quick example of another occasion where players were stood down. One match served during a trial, I believe, and that was and that was Munster and Cheese at the post-season celebrations with the mystery white powder. That was a week. This one is a,
and it was the integrity unit that did it. Just to be clear, the integrity unit, not the club.
Yeah.
I could actually cop this more if it was the club. If this was one of those, we have a zero tolerance policy for this sort of behaviour within our club. It's not our culture. Even though they're great players and it may cost us the game, our culture is more important than one game. I'd almost cop that.
Yep.
At the moment, though. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess Payne Haas also agrees. Saw the first one he could get his hands on.
It does worry me a bit that the Integrity Commission, or whatever it's fucking called, seems to work a little bit on, well, did you get caught? Is there video?
Yeah.
Which these but days...
That mystery white powder thing was such fucking...
You're
going to buy that. What are you, come
exactly.
On.
You know, well, so why can't they come out and say, no, we were rehearsing for our fucking drama group? That is just as fucking believable as it was a white powder that we don't know what it was.
Also, if, and take the alcohol and the fact it was in public, if they have a stoush at training because it's blown off as, oh, they're intense. You know, see, our training's intense. That's why we're going to be a successful club.
Yep.
The only thing you've added is alcohol and the fact it's happened at a pub instead of on the training field.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get 2 weeks if it happened at the training field.
And that's not an uncommon occurrence.
No.
Like that level of one too, where there wasn't really anything. There wasn't too much in it. Mm. I mean, then you get your other ones like, you know, Panthers back in the day when the Ottoman took Trent Waterhouse behind the fucking dunnies and flogged him.
Did he actually, I remember that incident, but I don't remember whether it was like, oh, he tried to and, like, Petro pulled him apart or he did flog him or he tried to and House busted him. I don't remember what that was. Someone remind me.
Yeah, I mean, we're going back now. This is obviously, the Ottoman. I mean, even, that, you know, there's a generation of listeners who don't
even
know.
I would love to know, but I don't care enough to Google it myself.
Yeah, so there's a generation of listeners who have no idea who the Ottoman is, and there's another generation who before that who know who he is, but never saw him play rugby league and only know of him as the Northern Territory drug kingpin that he became.
Far out.
Now, is there something else? This is the one last thing I just wanted to bring up is, what do you make of this narrative that's being woven at the moment? Todd Payton made comments the other night after his side lost to the Roosters. What do you make of this? The assertion that there is a bias, unconscious bias, because we're not accusing anybody of anything, but an unconscious bias amongst the refereeing group towards the, in quote, big teams and against the, poor teams, low profile teams. So, for example, teams that, Holbrook also, so that Titans would put themselves in that category as well. And they're saying, so they don't get the rub of the green. And it's because there's an unconscious bias from the referees that allow teams like, say, for example, the Storm or, East or, the Panthers.
Well, I don't think you could, you'd assume that rugby, that referees have a history of following rugby league and are general fans of the game itself, right? Mm-hmm. So they'd have an understanding of who's a good team, who's not so great team. That's to be expected. I feel like it would be human nature as a referee to have an idea, much like we all do and speculate on before every game as to who's going to win or how the result's going to go, mm-hmm. consciously or otherwise, like you say. So whilst I wouldn't suggest that referees go out there and try and engineer that result that they think may occur in the game.
I think, and I don't think anyone's accusing them of that either. Like, they're not trying to engineer results.
But definitely, if the Roosters are playing the fucking Tigers,
yes,
as a Tigers fan, I expect the Roosters are going to get the rubber green. I expect
that. Well, hang on. No, if the Roosters are playing the Tigers, they don't need the referee's help. And I think this is what it comes down to. You know, unless fucking Toto's requesting that every decision is fucking taken up by a council of fucking rugby league elders to determine in a non-biased way, you know, what decision should be made. You know, yes, everyone has internal biases. That's part of being a fucking person. There are some things
we can do. So you have none?
No, then I'm still a person.
And that's okay.
It is. I don't think it's as cut and dry as, over-penalising poor teams. I would suggest that it's the other way around. Maybe poor teams get poorer results because they are not as good at certain parts of the game as other teams.
I think it's not just in terms of like gameplay, it's in terms of better at, you know, like cheating, like, you know, better than pushing the line of the rules and doing it in a more, you know, subtle ways or whatever.
Okay. So if you look at, watch a Penrith game, right? And really start to pay attention as to how their play the balls work. When they're in one of their focused attacking raids, they almost submit to a tackle and they're getting up to play the ball as the referee is calling held. You know, they're almost deciding when the tackle's complete, and as they start making the moves to get up to play the ball, the defenders start to slide off them because that's part of how it works. You know, as you start to feel the other player try to rise, you give them a little bit of resistance, as is the standard, and then you get off because you want to avoid giving away a six again or a penalty.
Unless you're Tyrone Peachy, in which place you put the player in a headlock and you twist his jersey around.
maybe if the A and B defenders fucking got back in a straight line,
you know,
and got back to 10, Glennie, you wouldn't have to do that.
And so there you go. The play of the ball speed for the Panthers all of a sudden looks amazing.
Because it's only half a ruck, really.
Essentially, yeah. So
they've shortened it. Yeah.
So from the time between when the referee says held to when they're playing the ball has been shortened because they're getting up and attempting to play the ball. Now, you know, to referees all of a sudden start calling out dominant tackle or surrender.
Mm.
Every time they see that, I don't know if they can, but
that's tough to police, which is why they do it. It's good. I mean, it's good coaching.
But the other thing is, so much of rugby league refereeing is subjective.
Yep.
So much of it. And maybe the better teams are better at figuring out game to game how individual referees police. There would obviously be work done on the referee just as there is for other teams. If you're not game planning for a referee and trying to look at how they referee things and what they let go and what they're tied on so that you can get in there and perform to, because you're not playing to the rules, you're playing to that referee's interpretation of the rules. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it is.
Mm.
And, you know, and it's a good point you bring when you put the focus on the referee. The other thing as well is that in this day and age, the referee can only see so much. And especially in the right when it comes to the ruck, because he's 10 metres away.
Yep.
So imagine if there was like a system by which the referees could police the ruck better, because maybe like they had one that was there in charge of the 10 and one that was in charge of the ruck. I mean, stop me if this is a revolutionary idea.
I just feel like you need to stop before everyone's mind explodes with this new information that no one has ever heard before.
But I don't think that's the thing about the ruck. You know, I don't think policing the ruck's the answer here. Or, sorry, the answer to what Toddy's suggesting.
I think that would minimise or mitigate the amount of times that teams that are better at
slowing it down.
Slowing things down. Yeah, it would prevent them being out because
you're right. They're just, you're right. The last time two referees were there to police the ruck, in no way, shape, or form did the most dominant ruck slowing team ever, the Melbourne Storm, have any success. No, you're right. Yeah, it definitely will work. It'll definitely work. Yep.
Yeah, but that's a false analogy because the rule set was different. The rule set was different at the time. I mean, that was the wrestle that the Boomers talk about, you know.
Write letters about.
Yeah, they write letters apparently. Fucking, honestly, all that shit there with like Volandi, the way that Volandi's reacts, it's fucking AIDS, and like it's all AIDS. It's not like, I mean, I see people on Twitter say like, oh, you know, it's so offensive to dismiss, you know, it's only people on Twitter saying things because it's only a small subset of it. It is a small subset. And also the Boomers that write letters, they're a small subset too.
Yeah.
That's the point. Stop being fucking like...
Here's the thing though.
Whiny cunts.
Like rugby league, it can either never change,
mm-hmm.
as in, you know, 5 metres,
yep.
limited interchange. Once you make an interchange and you come off, you can't go back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how the game used to be. But for it to develop, there are going to be some things that happen that are good and some that aren't so good, and it's going to need to keep changing. You know? Do we get to a stage where we go, rightio, this is okay, and then it stays this way for 5 years, whatever, you know, a decade, whatever that may be? Where's the happy point?
There isn't one. There's always going to be a camp that...
Exactly.
Yeah, there's always going to... And it's going to fluctuate depending on the particular rule that is the flavour of the month, but there's always going to be the cunt camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Fuck.
James, let's get on.
How good?
Yeah, sort of, but I mean, it was... I've just been missing the discussion about, you know, news or the issues of the day or whatever. And look, the options weren't great, but you know, it's still fun to talk about shit.
Should we also talk about Hero to Humanity, May Junior?
Why is he a hero to humanity?
Well,
he's a low life piece of shit like his brother.
Well, no. Let me take you through the two scenarios. His low-life piece of shit brother, who I do agree with you with, was recording girls in sexual situations without their consent, was encouraging the booting of said rat bags. It's you know, nothing that anyone wants to be a part of.
Do you see that footage of those AFL guys that I'd never heard of before? They took booting sluts to a whole new level.
Really? No.
Oh, it's fucking disgraceful. AFL is such a shit sport full of shit people and people who watch it as shit as well.
And the cover-ups. I'm surprised the entire fucking Victorian media are not out there fucking hawking beanies
for you. They didn't cover this one up. It was CCTV in an undercover car park. And these two players, I'd never heard their names before, but I think they're ex-players. They flogged these women, like fucking, like legit, fuck. like stomping their head on the ground,
fuck.
Stomping, like
fucking
it was
what?
It was fucking sick. And then, like, when one would get to the knees, like, you know, trying to line up like a fucking, you know, Vanderlei Silva fucking pride soccer kick, you know, to the head, and shit, like it was fucked. Like it was one of the worst ones I've seen in a fucking long time.
Was this recent?
Mrs. asked me if I knew anything about it today, this afternoon, and I was like, I don't follow AFL, don't know players' names.
I understand you're fucking ignorant towards this podcast, but surely you know what fucking sport we talk about.
Did you actually stop her for suggesting that you would like AFL?
So then she's queued up the video and passed me her phone, and I was like, holy fuck. It was fucked. But yeah, sorry. Please continue, stepdad. That was just the logical conclusion of a society that allows the booting of sluts.
Yeah, no, horrid. But hero, humanitarian, Taylan May, after the grand final victory, in defending his mates, what more do you want than someone who defends their mates? And isn't, you know, the Andrew Fifita defending my mate? Not fucking his mates, actual proper mates, good mates, punch someone in the head who was, you know, by probability,
sledging, most apparently likely, sledging,
the cunt that he punched was both a Queenslander and a South Sydney fan. So I don't see how you could see someone who punches a Queensland-born Souths fan as anything other than a hero. And I'd say he's done society a favour. I congratulate you, Taylan May.
Hero of humanity, you say?
Hero of humanity.
Let's get into the games.
Hero comes along.
God. As if it wasn't unlistenable enough.
And you know that he'll jump in when he has to defend a chin. I'm a master.
Just fucking sit. No, you fucking sit in the filth that you created. Just sit in it. Right, let's get on to the games. Round 5, coming right up. Thursday night, Newcastle Knights take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles in Newcastle. The Knights side. Jacob Saifidi returns to the starting side. Thompson benched. The overall 17 remains the same as the team that played last Friday night. They've omitted Sexy Texie, much to their detriment. Manly Seagulls, though, big changes there. Tommy Turbo, we didn't actually mention that. Out with a MCL.
It's because no one cares.
They can't stop the guy. They can't stop him. So they've got to try and take him out with foul play. It's fucking disgusting, and it's endeared Canberra and its fans to me even more than I already was endeared to them. And I'm looking forward to a I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to wish an injury on Whitehead for the hip drop that he put on Tommy to injure him. I'm just going to wish him the best that life has to offer.
You know what's worse than Canberra and its football team? Fans.
What, Glennie?
Fans,
tell
fans
me.
Fans of that football team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I did mention the fans too in terms of, you know. But yeah, fuck the milk. Anyway.
Fuck them all.
They're not playing.
Especially
they're not playing this game.
Pant Anacondas.
When the team list came out yesterday, I was super excited because we had Kohler named at one and Christian Tupolotu named in the centres. I was like, this is great. This, like, we remember, like, this time last year, Desi is very kind of, he's very conservative in terms of team change. He shows a lot of loyalty to players and things like that. It's difficult to get dropped. But we had a stretch of injuries there last year where guys like, when Suli got injured, and that's what gave Harper his chance. Sirenin was injured. That's what gave Homoli his chance. And when injuries happen and players come in, they do have that opportunity to take the position and make it their own. And I was hoping that this would happen with Christian getting his chance at one of the centre slots. But short turnaround this week, and unfortunately, a niggle to Kohler means that he won't be playing this weekend, so he doesn't get his chance to be fullback. And Christian still remains in the side, but Brad Parker returns from COVID, and so he'll move into the centres, and then Christian will take the wing, which means that Rubes will be back in fullback, which is, it's not the worst outcome, but I really want to see Kohler get as much first grade as possible. So we, like most other clubs, I presume, have a legitimate fullback there as an understudy. So if something happens to Tom, you can put another number, a guy who plays fullback and knows the
position.
Sorry,
did you say if?
You can slot him straight back in there. And because it's very rare that you can successfully drop, like Alex Johnson's probably, he's a reasonable replacement, I think. He goes pretty well when he has to for the Rabbits. But you really need to have genuine, fullback's a specialist position and you need to have people that can
a
do
tech
it.
Tech boy, so, if you will.
Sexy Texie is the greatest. He's actually the understudy that's better than the main cast personnel. Not that they'll admit it in Newcastle. This game was going to be a nice. It was going to be a grind anyway, I think, because Newcastle have been a resilient side, even when they've been outclassed. Like the Sharks had them outclassed, but they only beat them 18-0, and the Knights, couldn't get their attack going, but just in the general run of play, I mean, they remained fairly resilient throughout that game, and which is why it didn't blow out, much further. And, they showed the resilience as well when they had their racist fella sent off against the Panthers as well the week before. However, the other thing about the Knights is they've been one of the better teams in competition over the last couple of years at shutting Tom down. So he's worst games that he's had in the last couple of years have generally been like Newcastle and probably the Storm have been his worst games. So I don't think that it's a gigantic thing, but and I think that if Daly and Foran play like they did last week, well, let's start at the source. If the forwards can play like they did last week and provide the time for Foran and Daly to play the way that they played, then I think that, you know, it's a very winnable game for Manly, but it's Newcastle, it's in Newcastle, and they've got a fairly solid forward pack as well. So if the I think if they're not up to it, and if Aloyer can't carry them like he did last week, then, you know, it's going to be a tough one, but still confident.
No Tom, no chance.
Won three of our last four without Tom Glennie. Just so you know.
Who the fuck did you play? Was the Tigers in there? Yeah. Big fucking deal.
No, we didn't play the Tigers.
You could have had no team and had more of a chance.
We're going to play that. We may play the Tigers without him this year, though, Glennie. You're 5 weeks away. So let's just see. He's meant to be four, but we'll see. He may be.
Nothing Manly do will stop the hashtag defeated season from coming to fruition.
Anyway, that's in fucking like round nine or something, dude. Like we'll get to that shit. Don't you worry. You anything you want to say, Glennie?
I just said it.
Oh, that was it. Just the one liner.
Yeah, I think
too many things have to go Manly's way. As in, look, for them to replicate the form of last week, Foran has to have a fucking turn back the clock game again. They have to have Tommy do something, which we know they won't do. You know, you're 100% correct, Nate. Their forwards really need to stand up. This will be a good test for them. I'll be interested to watch this one to see how Newcastle bounce back. Like, they'd been essentially overachieving for the first couple of rounds of the competition, playing some amazing football, and just derailed by the Penrith game, which, again, was them playing without a man for most of the game. You know, and that just seemed to throw them off. So this will be a good opportunity for them to show that they can have an off week, get themselves together as a group, and come back from that. But yeah, no Tom, no chance. I think with Manly.
And I wonder if Ponga is reportedly getting, what was it, 1.3 million. And
well, given it's two of the top 10 highest paid.
I wonder if the rest of the Newcastle side watching their the shrinking of the potential milkshake that they have for their own contract upgrades in the future. I wonder if that causes a mutiny. Manly not 13 plus. Let's say Manly by 8. The Warriors take on the North Queensland Cowboys. It's a Friday pub slot game down at Redcliffe. Nah. I was just thinking for a minute maybe I'll go down and watch it, but. It's the Warriors versus the North Queensland Cowboys. Nah. Warriors side. Bailey Sirenin returns after having the Koviche. He's going to slot into the back row. Jazz Tavanga is suspended. Curran shifts to lock. Adam Fanua-Blake is listed in reserves with Bundy Ofoa starting up front and Aaron Penne added to the bench. Murchie replaces Murdoch Masilla on the bench. The Cowboys side. The Hammer did his MCL last week and he'll be missing. So Drinkwater is the fullback. And who else have we got here? Jermaine Tenor-Brown. He returns to the starting side at prop with Tamalolo back to lock and Cotter is benched. So, the recent form line of both sides includes a good win over the Brisbane Broncos to both teams over the last fortnight. Mm. Is that the best measure of...
No. I just think the Warriors. I wasn't super impressed with the Cowboys last week, albeit against a higher quality of opposition than the Warriors. But I think some of the, you know, if the Warriors forwards can show up and nullify some of what the Cowboys bring through the middle, I think Johnson, Harris, Tavita, and Walsh should be able to provide enough points to get over the top of the Cowboys.
I think Harris DeVita and Sean Johnson together, I think they can develop a bit of a combination there.
Yeah.
And I think that last week, I think the Warriors benefited from those two together.
Mm. They are a little bit samey-samey, which is a bit like the Cowboys halves as well.
It kind of worked for them, though.
Mm, mm.
Like that's
I don't know that it would work for any other club other than the Warriors, but it tends to work for them, I think.
Yeah, look, I favour the Warriors. I mean, the Cowboys, yeah, this is a chance for them to get, I suppose, get back on track, and maybe they will be one of those teams that's, you know, better than, will flog six teams beneath them and compete hard with a couple of teams in the middle and then get destroyed by the top four or something like that. You know, maybe that's their destiny for this season. But look, they were dead set spoon contenders after round one, weren't they? So I'm going Warriors. Warriors at home.
What about you, birthday boy?
In sunny Ridcliffe.
I'm going Warriors. And, mate, one thing you said there saddens me a little.
What's that?
Fuck, I would love for Sean Johnson to be the player where if somebody like you looks at that game and says, yeah, fuck yeah, that's Warriors versus Cowboys, I'm going to go and I'm going to take the kids to watch Sean Johnson.
Like maybe 10 years ago.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but I don't think he ever got there. Like he was always potential. It was always Willy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It just made me a little bit sad when you said that. But I think the Warriors will win.
Yep. If I'm gonna go to Moreton Bay, Moreton Daly Stadium, whatever the fuck they call it, Dolphins, this weekend, I'll go and take the little one to the NRLW Grand Final. I think. So, the Broncos take on the Sydney Roosters at Suncorp. The Broncos side, Carrigan out with a knee, Albert Kelly out with a foot and a broken jaw, Flegler suspended for 2 matches. Okay, so what do we got here? Broncos side. Walters, Palacio, and Hetherington all named in their places. Capewell's back after missing round 4. That pushes Rabadi to the bench. And Branko Lee drops out of the 17 with Corey Pakes and Jensen named on the bench. The Roosters side, Hutchinson switches back to the bench with Watson at hooker. They'll probably switch back again on the game day, otherwise unchanged. And look, I don't know how much we need to talk about this.
The Warriors. I think the Roosters will be far, far too good for the Broncos. Way too many points, way too strong through the middle, and whatever attack the Broncos can throw at them won't be enough.
Broncos, improved without Flegler in the side, but the flip side to that is that Billy Walters is at 6.
Mm.
And, man.
I had a Broncos fan today trying to talk himself into Billy Walters. I was like, don't do it to yourself.
Yeah, what was the rationale?
Oh, just, you know, he's young. He's playing for his old man. He brings a lot of energy. I'm like, yeah, until he fatigues with about 10 to go in the first half, or probably at 20 to 25 in the second half, and then he's a fucking turnstile. So if it's a close game and Billy Walters is on the field, you lose.
I mean, even, you know, you have your Takiyahos and your Tupanumas barreling at him, like.
I was like, it's the evolution of Billy Walters, where the Tigers saw him as a hooker, a part-time hooker. So they had him.
And that was surely only because of the last name, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, when has he ever displayed the apparent physicality?
But that's the thing. He would evolve during a game where they would go, okay, you're playing hooker, so defend in the middle. Well, that's not going well because you're missing tackles and you're fucking gassed. So we'll just slip you out towards the edge, and then you've got edge back rolls running. Well, clearly you're not physically up to that, so we'll slip you out. Eventually he may as well be on the fucking... Sorry?
Well, at the Tigers, you have... It's just Luke Brooks will be in the 7. And there was probably somebody else in the 6. So where else do they put him?
Well, in Brisbane, playing for his dad. Where he needed to be all along.
Good point.
Yeah, like obviously we're all agreed that the Roosters are going to win that one, and they should win fairly easily.
They will.
The Canberra Raiders take on the Melbourne Storm in Wagga Wagga. The Raiders side, unchanged, except Starling is starting and Frawley is benched. I don't know why Starling doesn't start every fucking game for the Raiders. They always lift when he comes on.
He should play.
He should play 80 minutes.
80 fucking minutes. Just
yeah, agree. The Storm side, no changes to their squad, and why wouldn't you? When they're rolling along nicely.
My favourite meme of the week, and with no offence to you, Nathan, it didn't come from you. You are the meme god. Where Addo Carr was trying to tackle Xavier Coates and said, "Give me back my jersey, bro." I can't see Canberra being anything other than barely competitive for the first 15 minutes in this game. And the Storm have definitely blown out whatever cobwebs there were in their attack, and they're firing on all cylinders at the moment. And pretty, you know, close to a full strength side, barring some injuries that they suffered early on. Pappenhausen's in fucking amazing touch. Can't see Canberra getting anywhere near them.
No, not at all.
Yeah, Pappy's becoming undeniable lately, isn't he? And I mean, especially against weaker sides.
I don't want to be one of those guys only that I saw. Whether it was Fox or someone said, you know, who plays one for New South Wales? And you look at the candidates, the potential fucking back line, you know, outside backs. Obviously, the halves are nailed, but, you know, the potential outside backs in that side is fucking
outstanding. Could be a fullback, a team of fullbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have all those guys, you know, the old Jack Gibson philosophy that, you know, find a spot and pick your best players and find a spot for them. Holy fucking Jesus.
Yeah.
Because not one of them, you know, you couldn't say one of them is a defensive liability if they happen to finish up in the centres or something like that. It's crazy. Well,
exactly. Essentially, it comes down to, like, who's not the worst option. As in, if you look at the centres and look between Pappenhausen and Tommy, Pappenhausen is probably a worse option at centre than Tommy is. Yeah. Yeah. So he goes in the centres.
And Pappenhausen will probably wind up being like a shadow or a 14 or something like that. We've got these guys for years too in New South Wales too. So I know Jay and I can be happy about that. Look, Storm comfortably. I don't know where it's going to come from for the Raiders.
I don't know where points come from for the Raiders, and I don't know where the necessary intelligent defensive reads and execution come from to stop the points. So it's going to be a long night.
The Rabbitohs take on the Dragons on Saturday afternoon at Sydney Olympic Park. The Rabbitohs side, Mansour replaces Jackson Paulo on the wing. Mark Nichols is out with an ankle injury. Tom Burgess is named to play in his place. And the Dragon side. Okay, so Jaden Sewer comes back to face his old club. Tyrell Sloan is not in the side. He's in the 21. So Jetski drops to the reserves. But Aaron Wood starts prop. So, again, the kids are, you know, some of the boom kids have been remain dumped by Hook. And I think the Rabbitohs have, again, I don't see where the points come from for the Dragons either. I don't see what sort of impact they're going to get out of Moses Umbai at fullback. I think he's a safe sort of an option, but he's not going to spark anything. Ben Hunt's going to do it alone again with probably 20-minute cameo of Jack Bird seems to, you know, get into a game and get fired up for periods. But
I'm just baffled by the demotion of Sloan in particular.
And they were like, it's not like they were losing games.
And it's not like he was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's a young kid and he's going to have his share of maybe being out of position or you know, not being a fucking brick wall as a last line of defence or whatever. That's to be expected. But a handful of games into his first grade career, doing nothing wrong and getting dropped unceremoniously is fucking poor. I think.
And surely that sort of thing with the advent of Sloan, like players like Sloan, should be like a goal, like one of the goals that you tick off this year for the Dragons. Like, look, yeah, realistically speaking, we don't quite have the squad to win it, but we do have these young guys. Let's get them up.
Mm. Can I throw a question out to you? You know how we've spoken at length about the difference in how your team performs and is playing when you enter the league, mm-hmm. and the difference that can make on your trajectory. Off the top of your head, can you think of any players that entered the league in a position with some responsibility, so fullback or one of the halves, or for a team that was in horrid form?
Okay, so it's got to be a shit team.
And has since made it big.
The players made it big?
Yeah. So, Talon May at the moment, or Brian To'o, or those guys that came in when Penrith were on a roll. You know, To'o's now playing rep footy, so is Luai. But their team was succeeding. Has there been anyone that's come in?
You just put Talon May in the same breath as To'o and Luai.
Fucking hero of humanity, Glenn.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, you could argue that when Tommy made his debut, I mean, that was sort of, that was the Trent era. It wasn't great. It wasn't a great age.
Okay. Counter to that one, I would say that he would have made it regardless because of his physical attributes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. But I mean, I'm just bringing him up.
Yeah, no, he probably
fits your criteria.
But again, this thing about Sloan.
Storm have never been super down, so you can't even bring people like Billy Slater and whatnot into the conversation. Broncos, anyone that's come through their shit time has just, hasn't made it.
It's a very interesting question.
It is. No one the Tigers would have brought in a downtime.
Now, you've got those ones, the Tigers that have...
Anyone that was
gone elsewhere.
With the Tigers prior to...
Teddy's arguable, but he didn't... he was good when he left the Tigers, but he wasn't state of origin fullback.
Only because he was playing for the Tigers. He's doing exactly the same thing for the Tigers that he was doing for the Roosters. He just didn't have anyone else around him.
The Tigers weren't the meme that they are now back when Teddy played for them. It was ha-ha Tigers in decline. It wasn't, everyone realises that they're a fucking spoon contender every year.
Yeah, Tigers in decline was a thing before they actually were really properly in decline.
Yeah.
It was just a funny way to set Glennie off.
That's it.
For a while there. And then it manifested into reality.
Yeah.
It's all my fault. This whole thing's my fault. Chris Bailey's right.
Is the secret real?
Maybe it is. I do have a vision board up there with Glennie fucking with hair tearing it out. And now look.
But seriously, though.
Back to the story at hand. Yeah. The South Sydney Rabbitohs are going to win this one fairly comfortably,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
Definitely.
Dragons were awful last week. And I just don't think...
The only thing more awful than the Dragons last week, their fans.
And the West Tigers.
I don't know why you had to bring that up.
The Titans versus the Eels. Down there at Hope Solo and Rabina. The Titans side, we've got Firma, Sammy and Liu returning from the COVID protocols. Brian Kelly is out. So Sammy returns to the centre with Liu and Firma slotting straight back into the pack. The Eels side, Sean Lane returns in the back row. Madison benched. Cartwright has lost his bench spot. He's in 18. And he's lost it to Mitch Rain.
After the coat-hanger last week.
Jesus.
Fucking what's a kid got to do?
I know. And Mitch Rain, though, too. I mean, like, heaping indignity upon indignity. Look, Eels are in fine early season form. This is a rematch of a game that was only a couple of weeks ago anyway, round one, wasn't it? Which was a bit of a shootout. I think the Eels have tightened things up significantly since that encounter. And I haven't seen anything from the Titans to indicate that they're defensively... They've sorted their shit out at all. And the one thing that the one reliable thing that they did seem to have this season, which was, exciting attack, that completely deserted them against a side that was there to be taken in the West Tigers last week.
I think we can all agree that there's no human being in their right mind that could tip the Titans in this game, a week removed from them participating in the worst game of rugby league that's ever been played.
Correct. Correct.
So, power up by...
So,
how
power
many?
Up by the length. That's yeah. It. Okay, so the Sharkies take on the West Tigers. Sunday afternoon, PointsBet Stadium. No changes.
Have
the squad
a look
of the Sharkies.
At the odds. Sharkies,
oh, the West Tigers.
Sharkies $1.10 favourites. Tigers are $7. Wow. Sorry.
So, unchanged 24-player squad from the West Tigers, Glennie.
Unchanged.
Not even so much as a shuffling of the deck chairs from 18 through 24.
Hey, Glennie.
Yes, sir.
Your odds are as good to beat a team that didn't make the eight, or sorry, that made the eight and got bundled out last year. Did they make the eight last year? Yeah, they did, didn't they? The Sharkies.
Oh.
Just.
Yes.
No,
they? No.
They had that game against the Warriors at the end. With, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they got flogged out of contention.
So the Titans made it instead of them.
Your odds to beat the Sharks, who didn't make the eight last year, are the same as the Bulldogs' odds to beat the reigning premiers, who are undefeated. gamble responsibly.
Is there a narrative that you can weave for us, Glennie, where the West Tigers, like outside of like, you know, like a plane crash or Bain blowing the field, like, you know, outside of those sort of scenarios, is there a footballing scenario that you can weave where the West Tigers can win this game?
Look, it's been a large portion of my life I've spent trotting out some rather ridiculous things about the West Tigers and their potential to win games of rugby league and premierships. And once or twice I may have suggested that they might win the comp undefeated. I no longer like to operate in that sort of circle. I like to more be quite realistic about things. It's a bit of a revelation for me in these tender years that I'm inhabiting at the moment. And the West Tigers are less than a week removed from participating in the worst game of rugby league that's ever been played. And I would say that they were arguably, I'm happy to hear arguments to the contrary, but they were the reason that that was the worst game of rugby league ever played. The Titans were dragged into a battle of incompetence and beaten by an opponent that had far more experience in that battle. So they were...
Are you pretending to be a Titans fan right now?
No. Oh, okay. I'm definitely being a Tigers fan.
I'm not prepared to absolve them of blame for that game. It was a two horse race. There were only two participants, so they get, you know, as much.
They haven't earned
as much
the
blame.
Titans have not earned. There's not been more than a decade of people shrieking Titans in decline, or, you know, calling
they never
Titans
had the incline.
A meme club or whatever the case may be. I've actually been quite impressed with the Sharks and their development over the first handful of rounds of the competition, to the point where they are starting to assert themselves as definitely a top eight side and potentially knocking on the door of the top four.
Yeah, the I think Tigers, they're a dark horse for top four.
The Tigers are not doing that, you would say. If they're knocking on any doors, it's with the rat-a-tat-tat of a wooden spoon. And
if they're knocking on the door, I thought you were going to say it was the disabled toilets, and that was because they're in them and locked in them and couldn't figure out how to undo the latch.
Locked themselves in. I don't know that I could talk any more about this game. I expect that the Sharks, unless they get injected with the Tigers serum, much like the Titans did last week, I expect the Sharks to give us a thorough fucking trouncing, which is quite disappointing because the Sharks and their fan base, there's a handful of people that listen to this show that are diehard Sharks fans that are real pieces of shit. And I take great offence to the thought that my team and their performance, or lack thereof, would enable any joy to enter the hearts of those fucking pieces of human garbage that are the Sharks fans that listen to this show.
Do you reckon the West Tigers, can they keep it to a scoreline like the Newcastle game last week?
Where we walk away and go, we showed a bit of heart. We showed some heart. We were competitive.
Yeah, 18-0. We lost by 3 tries.
Yeah.
Didn't score a point, but they played so far over the top of us that it probably should have been double that.
Yeah. No. I expect this to be a bit of a capitulation.
44-0 was the bar set by the Melbourne Storm last week in their game against the Bulldogs. Will it be surpassed?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get to 44.
All right.
They may get to 28 or 32, though, which is still
embarrassing. There you go. There's a silver lining.
Is it really?
Of sorts. Right. So, yeah, I mean, we're all agreed. I think the Sharkies will win that one comfortably.
Yep.
And can you imagine...
defeated season rolls on.
Can you imagine Talakai fucking rumbling down the left-hand side, right-hand defence of the Tigers, all standing between him and a hat-trick? Is one Dean Offaluma.
You reckon he'll start putting his arms up and looking at the big screen before he actually tackles him? Just turn around in preparation.
As Talakai catches the ball, he looks up and he just... Knopf has actually got his back turned looking at the big screen with his arms outstretched. Oh, fuck me.
The Doggies taking on the Penrith Panthers last game of the round out there at... was it Parramatta? The Canterbury side, what have we got this week? Kyle Flanagan gets his first start of the year. Wakeham has been benched and Biondiodo pushed out of the 17. The Panthers, no change to their lineup. And I guess the first talking point of this game is there's talk in the media that, Trent Barrett's a terrible coach, which, great, welcome to the fucking party. We've been partying like this for 3 years, media. But like Flanagan, so out of favour there, apparently hasn't been training with the first grade squad.
Is that because killing it's not a first grader?
Killing it in Reggie's.
Fit him well in Tigers.
But getting dumped into, he's getting his promotion into the first grade side after Trent has mixed and matched his halves almost every game this season. He brings him in for the game against the Panthers. The one game, or one of the few games of the season, that spells certain death for a side. What do you think happens to Flanagan when they get the inevitable pasting that they would have got with Wakeham there, or Averillo?
Oh, I think
bit of a poison chalice,
will
right?
Will he be training with the Tigers first grade squad come Monday? Considerable recovery session.
Is this a health check for the Tigers? Oh, as long as he gets through this game, we'll take him.
If he doesn't die, he's ours.
That's it.
Oh, fuck. When is is there already a turn starting to show in the media's perception of Barrett?
Only now, on NRL 360 tonight,
right?
And it's over this. And it's over this. Bringing Flanagan, in for the slaughter.
Paul Kent a quote where he said it's like being given a hand grenade for your birthday, which is fucking.
That was yesterday or the day before, I think. Yeah.
But look,
I don't watch NRL 360. But someone sent me a message. Someone sent me a message and said, "Well, as a Manly fan, I know that shares my anti-Barrett agenda," and they sent me a message and said, the media, it's finally happening. He's getting carved up deluxe on NRL 360. So now the turn is just happening. Mm.
I don't know that this game is going to do anything to change that tide. I think Penrith will. There's potential 50.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think Penrith are going to start this game strongly. It took the Storm a little while to break the Dogs down, and then they ran rampant, you know, in the second half.
Cleary will be far better for last week's run, and this will be yeah. Penrith.
I just think tries like you know, guys like Targo and May just pushing through weak defense on like Braden Burns and shit.
I think
there's like barge over stuff like that's going to happen. It's going to come a lot easier.
There's some very easy anytime try score or money this week.
But
the other
money
thing
for everybody.
The other thing Penrith can do though is, and you look at how they handled that Newcastle game. They're pretty good at throttling themselves in terms of, well, okay, we've got this one. Now let's just bring it back, go through the motions, da-da-da-da-da. Yep. You know, we don't need to put a cricket score on here. But then all of a sudden, they can step it up a notch when they have to. So can get a bit complacent in games that they feel they've got easy.
Yep.
13-plus, put your house on it.
13-plus. Get the fuck out of here. Let's go. Obviously, let's put a real number on it. 39.
Plus. If I'm punting, my comfy line's at 30.
Does the Bulldogs score a point?
Maybe.
Do they score a point other than a penalty goal?
You know,
in the early stages of the game.
Matt Burton, please take me back, game.
Yeah.
Brilliant solo effort. Before he realises that, you know,
Brent Naden, cocaine's a hell of a drug game.
Before Burton realises that he's just a fucking poor man's Tago.
Oh, fuck!
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the heavy left foot floaty bombs coming out of Tago this season.
Because we don't need him to. You haven't seen the heavy footed fucking chips that go over the dead ball line and give away 7 tackle sets yet either, have you? Keep them fucking headgear wearing fuck.
Jesus.
Now that
is an early and brutal turn of events, isn't it, Glennie?
Holy, never thought I would see the day.
Do you see the other news article? The Bulldogs haven't registered Kikau's contract for next year.
Yeah. Now tell me, in relation to that, have they registered Reed Marnie's?
I don't know.
Because it's my understanding that they haven't registered the Kikau contract yet because there are players they have to move on and they don't yet have the money in the cap to accommodate.
Exactly.
They plan to have the money, but they don't yet have the money.
Yeah, correct.
Maybe they'll shift Burton on to fit Kikau in.
So if there are players that they're planning on moving on, though, what is that just... How do you have a player that you're going to move on that you haven't told now that you're going to move on?
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong... But the players that they have on bullshit money, probably with the exception of Josh Jackson, they're the ones that they've just brought in this year.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that everyone else on there is on chips and, you know, and oily rags. Like, where's the money...
Red Frogs.
...coming from? Yeah.
Fuck.
So, yeah, I don't know, and I agree, and... And I said this in the chat earlier this morning, but if Reed Marnie's contract isn't registered, knowing the money and the upgrades that Parramatta have spent on players that mean they can't get him, I would if I were Manly, I'd be getting in there and saying, motherfucker, we're going to free up 800 Gs from Marty Tapau. Fucking come on down. We need a real hooker.
That's it.
And it's in a market where they're... availability of real hookers is little to none at the moment.
Yeah, correct.
So, right. Let's look at some mailbag stuff. Had a message come through today, not in the mailbag on the post, but from Chris. And I thought I'd send you guys a hypothetical question. Hypothetically, if you were the leader in a football team and your team was winning a close game in the 75th minute, for example... winning 4-2, and your team gets a penalty straight in front, close to your attacking try line, on a dry, clear night. Do you take the 2 points to go up by 4? I was going to say, this is you, stepdad, first. Close game. You're winning 4-2. You get a penalty right in front with 5 minutes left. Do you take the set, the six tackles in attack, or do you take the 2 points to go up by a score of 6-2?
There's no hard and fast rule there. Like, it depends on, have you got...
No, this is you. This is...
Yeah, but I'm saying, there's no, I would do this in every situation. You know, if you have the dominance on the field and you feel that you have the cattle that would be able to get you repeat sets, right? So in looking at if you do or don't take the two, yeah, the scoreboards and the time left's a big determining factor. Then there is, how easily is the other team rolling up field at the moment? Is it the end of the game and you're absolutely fucking gassed and they're making easy meters every fucking set? Is it a rare time that you've been down this end of the field? I'm assuming, is this what happened at the end of the Tigers-Titans game?
Mm.
This is what we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, and I think you have to take the two because the potential benefits outweigh the potential costs.
Mm.
Now, I know that game turned out differently.
Because it was the Tigers.
Because it was the Tigers. But I think that's one of those ones. And if you had 100 times to do that, you'd take the two. Mm. And it'd work out more times than it didn't.
What I would have done is kick the goal, let the other team kick off, have a set, get down the other end, kick a field goal, have the other team kick off, have a set, get down our end, kick another field goal, rinse and repeat.
You know how many times I've fucking thought that?
Like, I remember,
just keep rolling. Yeah, just.
I remember watching Noel Goldthorpe when he got promoted to first grade for West. Jason Taylor got dropped, and my old man was drinking schooners at the tennis club. I went over and I watched reserve grade to see how Jason Taylor was going to handle his demotion, and he didn't play well at all. And Noel Goldthorpe played first grade. Anyway, obviously, it was a, you know, certainly for the Magpies, it was a big story. Jason Taylor, the media actually beat it up that he actually had a good game in reserve grade and forced his way back in, which was horseshit. Anyway, the following week, Noel Goldthorpe's in reserve grade, and would do the same thing, go over and watch reserve grade, a couple of minutes in, first set, ground's a bit boggy, it's Campbelltown Stadium in the 90s, not great drainage, fucking quagmire, not much happening in attack, knocks over the 1 point, we're a handful of minutes into the game, other team kicks off, have a set, get a penalty, up the other end, couple of sets, not much happening. Boom, kicks another field goal. He's kicked two field goals in about the first fucking 9 minutes.
Yep.
2-0 lead. I think we probably lost 40-2, but in reserve grade. But yeah, I always thought fucking it's a flawed strategy at the end of the day.
A lot can go wrong in that strategy.
It's a lot. If you happen to make a mistake and you're only going up by ones, the other team's got a fair advantage. But yeah. Tell you what I don't do, is I don't kick the goal, then get piggyback down to the point where I'm attacking the line again, then make a fucking horrible error, which I then compound with a fucking high tackle, giving the other team the ascendancy to kick for touch, get it back up the other end, put in a kick, which then careens off the post and stacks on, and that's ball game. That's what I don't do.
Yeah, that's not a great plan, is it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem was it wasn't a plan.
Yeah.
The thing is, with the way that it was timed out, that if they got through their set and forced the repeat set, they probably closed it down at that point.
Mm. However, the Titans can't win because they don't have the football.
I also think that these days in that equation, and going back to that choice of, you know, do you do it or not, one of the effects of the six again rule now is that penalties in front are fewer and further between. So previously, if you were given a penalty, you could essentially say, okay, well, we're going to have another crack. because you'd probably get another penalty in that set if you went close enough, or if you could do something that would just, you know, make them hang on too long in defence or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you've got another penalty, so kick the 2 points. Whereas these days, it's another set itself.
I think the true answer is it's 2022. If you're up 4-2 with a handful of minutes left in a game of rugby league, you should stop participating in rugby league altogether. Just my 2 cents.
And just to be clear, it was beautiful fine weather. Not quagmire, not torrential rain, none of that shit. Alexander has sent a message, and this is one of several. And I might have zoned out for a bit there, but did Titan-Tigers game get reviewed? There were so many comments on that game thread. I guess I could go back and re-listen to find out. So listen, here's the story.
Fucking imbeciles.
Last week, before we recorded, I said, listen, fellas, I'm going to do something. Don't react. And then at the end of the show, we can go back and then the opportunity will be given again, and then we'll go from there. It was pretty much completely winged, and the idea was that it wasn't a game of NRL standard, so we weren't going to treat it as such, and it didn't get the benefits of a recap. We just were going to pretend like the game never happened. Then we came to the end of the show, and if you listen to the episode, at the end of the show, I said something like, you know, look, is there anything else you want to talk about before we go? And that was the opportunity that Glenn, it was up to Glenn if you wanted to bring it up or not. And he was emphatically, nope, there is not another thing. and so it didn't get spoken about at all. And so for the people like Ryan, And Mitch Doyle in the Facebook group as well. He was the first one that pretty much explained it, who got it straight away. He's one of the only people that got it. And he explained exactly what we were going for. And so thank you to you, because I think that you probably stopped the question being asked by anyone who saw your post. But that was the idea. And I've got to say, my favorite type of joke is the one you have to explain. Our mate Michael from Strive. Signing news or player movement news. Said, I've got a very talented centre moving up to Toowoomba this week.
Yeah.
I know the outside backs aren't usually Glennie's type, but your hospitality would be appreciated from a distance.
This fucking guy's becoming a real problem.
Have you scouted him yet?
No.
Did you go down to training and see him go through his paces?
No, definitely have done none of that.
Do you have like, are you smoking shisha or something?
No, it's a diffuser thing.
Oh, I thought I could see smoke going across in front of you. What the fuck? Is it just like a bad connection on Skype? Or is it?
I've just been talking about the Tigers far too much.
Just see these clouds of smoke go from from your right to left. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is that?
You've got some essential oils going there, Glennie.
I have.
Fuck yeah.
You got the ones that stop you killing yourself over your team.
I think this one's called Positive Vibes Only by Jay. I think this one's lovely.
Smells like Dairy Queen ice cream. Tremendous. John said, can Nate please explain to the uninitiated what the beef with Big Bobby Fulton's about? No, I can't, because I've got stuff to lose. And I'd rather not have it taken by his estate, because I don't think that the fact that he's dead is going to stop it.
Correct.
But yeah, look. All I say is I loved him as a player, loved him as a coach. As someone who meddles in board stuff and football department stuff, and coach appointments and other things, I do not like him at all. And we had a big falling out over it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Fellas, do you have anything to say before I wrap things up? I suppose I should say, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. You get links to our social communities, Patreon, and much more. If you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/twillnation. Join the fun, additional episodes, and more. Merch drops for certain levels twice a year. All sorts of good shit. get in there and see what it's all about. Now, fellas, do you have anything else you would like to add before we conclude proceedings this evening?
We are all good.
Defeated season.
90-minute episode. Make it, can you believe that?
Make it fucking Jesus. Shit.
All right. Once again, happy birthday, stepdad.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending your birthday with us.
I would think of nothing better.
Instead of eating a succulent Chinese meal or whatever it would, or whatever you would be otherwise be doing. And on that note, fellas, I will talk to you on Sunday or Monday.
It may be Monday. I'm only coming home from the coast on Monday.
Righto. Well, I'll talk to you then.
Slater.
Excellent. See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.